Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and today is a very exciting show because I have not just one guest, but two. Two very special people from the past that I'm getting to see again. It's really cool. Everyone, this is Allison and Alex Cadmus. Allison, who I'll call Allie going forward, and Alex are former members and coaches from Albany CrossFit. Years ago, they moved from New York to South Carolina, and they've now become experienced masters lifters who have recently opened their own barbell club, Bluffton Barbell Club. Allie and Alex, how are we doing?
Hey,
doing
good.
Great. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good, good. It's great to see you guys. You know, we were chatting a little bit before the show, getting caught up on all the, you know, the requisite COVID talk. I feel like that's like a thing you have to do now. Yeah. Everyone I go to catch up with, that's the start of every conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is your state open? Are you health? Like all the stuff. But now we're going to talk about the meatier topics. We're going to talk about you guys. What do you think about that?
Sounds good.
It's different.
it's different. It's different because you know you don't always get to talk about yourself. But you know today it's your special time. So I hope I'm making you feel special. I hope you guys are ready for it. You told me just a second ago this is your first ever podcast, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. And you know what? You guys are the first husband and wife duo to ever come on the show.
So honored.
Look at that. We're just knocking out all the firsts.
Breaking right down barriers today.
I love it. Well, let's dive into a little bit of training. You know, like how are you guys doing with your own training? Are you guys, you know, you're starting up a barbell club, which I mean, I know when helping to run a gym, it's a lot of work to manage a club and a gym. Sometimes you don't always get a lot of time to train yourself. Are you guys getting the barbell in the hands and lifting some heavy weights?
I have, yes. And then Alex has been getting back at it.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is it's in our garage. So all the equipment's close by.
Super convenient.
Yeah. It's amazing. We were ready for this to happen. But Allie's been more consistent than I have been recently. So you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So pre-COVID, I was training for Masters Nationals that were supposed to happen in April. And so once COVID hit and then Masters got pushed out, I worked with my coach, Tom Stroka at Strength Agenda. And he started putting some people on a squat program. So I decided to do that and just build up my strength because it was just this unknown time period of when Masters Nationals was going to be. And then now we are in a training phase leading up to the online Masters Nationals since it's officially been kiboshed for the in-person in Orlando. So right now I am in my, I think like the final training block really to, and then working to a deload, and I'm going to do my online competition at a local gym here probably the weekend before Labor Day. So that's what I'm shooting for.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw that they moved it to online. I have one athlete, maybe another one that might be doing it. And you get a whole month to do this online competition, right? It's from what, August 15th to September 15th?
Yeah. Yeah, you get a month and you can do it either like some local gyms are doing an actual meet or you just, you know, send your best two attempts and you can take as many attempts as you want, apparently, as long as it's within about, I think you have like a 2-hour time window or 2 to 3 hour time window. And there's a special app you have to use to video and time yourself for your weigh-in for the list itself. So, so we're gonna see how that goes. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be tough because I do a lot better with the adrenaline of of going to the platform, I guess. So I'm trying to not do it in our garage gym, so I'm at a different place and have like a different mindset, I guess, for it to see if that works. But we'll see how it goes. But
maybe you'll have to bring some guests with you. You know, Alex will definitely be there, but maybe you'll bring some family.
Like, yeah,
I'm sure we could get some friends to come over and
who wants to lift between sets?
Give you a crowd.
Yeah, and you need like 12. Back. There's so many rules.
Or maybe you do like an Instagram live stream or something like that. So now there's like untold numbers of people watching and also strangers. Right. And that hey, if you want the adrenaline going, that's one way I could think of doing it, or like a Facebook Live. That'd be, I'll tune in. That'd be super cool.
Yeah. I think I have to do it. I think that's what I'm going to be doing with my coach anyway. I think I would have to do like a Facebook or Instagram live stream so he can talk me through it.
FaceTime with him during it.
Yeah.
Just so we could see
his
own feed and all that.
It'll be interesting. So we're trying to coordinate what day and time is going to work out. And I'm coordinating with the gym I'm going to go to. There's a Masters Nationals judge that she's going to work with me and help me out. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was hoping to do it at the Cohens because they're having a meet for it, but they're doing it Labor Day weekend and we have plans and I just want to enjoy Labor Day. So I'm doing it the weekend before. I just want to relax. Well,
that's the interesting thing about this whole online thing too, is whoever submits the video first kind of wins certain things. You know, if you snatch, let's say 75 kilos and another lady snatches 75, if you got the video in first, I believe you win.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool how they're doing it. Like, interesting.
Yeah, but then it's like, do you want to submit your video first? Because then you can see what people got. And then if you still have time, you can try and go lift again. And they might be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It can get really political.
Game it like the Open.
Yeah. So the funniest thing, though, is like there's one other girl. I'm not sure who she is. But the my like next biggest competition for it is a girl on my team. So it'll just be interesting. Her and I will.
Is she local?
No, she's in Dayton, Ohio. Yeah.
So. Okay, so you can't get together and battle.
No. Online thing. Yeah. A bunch of girls on the team are actually going to lift at Tom's gym the same weekend I am. So they're just going to do like a heavy day. So. Yeah.
That's cool. What's it like working with Tom Sroka?
Good.
It's been great. Yeah. I've been lifting with him since 2014. Or 15. We got together at my first American Open out in Reno. I had been doing some online programming just on my own. I think it was Travis Mash's program when he first started doing that. But our gym owner down here knew Tom from the Grid League when that started up and kind of hooked us up together to help me just count attempts out there in Reno. And I was like, hey, that was fun. Let's keep doing it. So he became my coach and been there ever since. And then Allie joined in 2017. And it's been great.
That's awesome. So he's been your coach for pretty much the bulk of your weightlifting career. And I've got some stats here. I did my research beforehand. And I saw, Alex, you've qualified for 4 AO finals, 2015 through 2018. And Allie, you went to the AO finals in 2017, and at the AO 2, so this is the American Open Series in 2017, Alex, you got a silver medal in the clean and jerk.
Yeah, 170.
170 was the clean and jerk?
Yeah, what's funny is I opened at 150.
Oh, we lost Alex here for a second.
So I started really light. I just wanted to get a total and things went great. And so the guy who was helping me out, a buddy from Savannah, was like, what do you want to do for your last one? And I go, let's go 170, another 10 kilo jump. And he's like, okay, like, I don't know you, but you seem pretty confident about it. And I hit it. And if you see the video, it's really borderline if I drop it too early, like when my feet are still moving. But I remember they gave me the down signal. So I knew I could kind of argue it if I had to. But 170. And the only one who beat me was Donovan Ford. So if you know that name from weightlift, his legs are bigger than my waist. So
you can't be too upset if that's the only other guy that's beaten
you. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. So that was.
Where did you start your progression again? It kind of cut out a little bit right before you said that you opened at 170, or you did 170.
Opened at 150. So both or all three or both jumps were 10 kilo jumps, 50 to 60 to 70. which I don't recommend. I know I started light because I was nervous with no coach there. So really just wanting to get a total in because I was kind of on my own. So yeah, I don't recommend 10 kilo jumps though.
Now, was Allie with you? Like, do you guys coach each other? I know sometimes it's a difficult thing for those, and everyone who's a coach and in fitness and weightlifting knows coaching a significant other is a very touchy and sometimes stressful thing. Do you guys ever coach one another?
Oh yeah. Yeah. But that's like in the gym or in the garage. This was more of, you know, competition setting, counting attempts, you know, when do I take my warmups? I've got a lot more experience in that. So I do that for Allie pretty much most of the time, unless Tom's there. But I don't know if you've ever had an experience.
Been more of his hype man, photographer.
Yeah.
Biting my nails in the back kind of person at those. He usually either has a coach there or I think I've helped him change weights, and we've had a couple friends that we usually have like a crew somehow at meets where we're at, where our friends are there and they help us out. But Alex helps me out a ton. I've only lifted at a meet with Tom once, and it was at the AO finals. Right. So all my, AO series, Alex has been my primary coach, and he's counted my attempts, and, then, you know, I listen to everything he says because I know he's more than me and all that stuff. And I zone out and I'm just going to do this and I'm not going to, my brain is just pulling this bar up off the ground and getting it over my head in whatever means possible. So just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
And knowing that, we go in, she doesn't have to think. I tell you what to lift and when, and you just go do it.
Yeah. I think the most recent one we did, I don't know.
That was Daytona.
It was like, I shocked myself because it was, I lifted, I was like 10 months postpartum.
Yeah, it was Daytona.
So in Daytona. And I was, it was like the last round, it was my last attempts and I just kept, I think I made some really big jumps two attempts.
She had no idea. She came off the platform and said, "What was that?"
Yeah. And I was just like, I think I'm going to go do this. Let's make some really big jumps here. I'm feeling really good. And, you know,
I like you guys' style, just big jumps. Let's just go for it. Like
normal. I go, but I was like, I was feeling really good. And I was about to beat I had never been the top two lifters. And I've never been the last person in my, in my session. So it was for the first time, I was the last person in my session. So I was looking at Alex, I go, I think I can beat her. So whatever I got to do to beat her, let's do it. And I did. So that was nice.
That's awesome. That's a great quality to have as an athlete. And it's awesome that you guys have that kind of relationship where you can lead one another and coach one another during these situations, being at a meet, you know, not everyone's receptive to that. Let's dive a little bit into how you guys kind of met. You know, you guys met at Albany CrossFit, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but you guys met at Albany CrossFit and then sparks started to fly a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you hear me off?
Yeah, we're here.
We just had to charge my phone. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. We're on the phone. It almost died. I was just saying it's awesome that you guys have that kind of relationship where you can work with one another and no one's going to get mad or anything like that. And I'm wondering if that came from the fact that you guys are both coaches and you met at Albany CrossFit and sparks started to fly. Take me back to ACF. You know, let's slowly dive into this here. So let's go into how you found the gym and then how you found each other at the gym. Okay. Well, so let's start with Alex. So,
Allie was already there. So really it was my journey to Albany, and the short story of it is I graduated school, Binghamton. I got my master's, and the first job I got was at GE. So I was making the move up to Albany, and I had been doing CrossFit for a little while at that point, and moved to Albany. It was the middle of the Open, too. It was early March. So I remember coming in for the last week of the Open just to try to find somewhere to do it. And didn't know anybody. Chad Southwick was the one that kind of grabbed me and said, "Hey, I'll judge you. Let's go do it." And so I just did that then, and then signed up because I needed a gym anyway once moving there.
And you had been doing CrossFit before?
Yeah, I started in 2009. It was at a Gold's gym where one of the trainers actually introduced me to it. He put me through Fight Gone Bad. So that's my first one.
That's a rough first start.
Yeah. In a Gold's gym. So it was like somewhat makeshift setup with the equipment and things like that. And so I've been doing that since 2009 and joined CrossFit Binghamton at the time. Was the only one up there in 2010 when I started school. Continued through then. And then when I got the job up in Albany after school, I moved there and found the gym. ACF's the first thing that came up when you do any search. So that made the choice easy. And then, yeah, everyone was welcoming. And like I said, in the open, it was the first thing. I just needed somewhere to do it. And Chad judged me. And then, yeah, I signed up.
And then you became a member. You're working there or working out there for a while. And eventually you decided to come on as an intern and start coaching classes. Allie, you were there a little bit before Alex. How much earlier were you there before Alex?
So I found ACF in 2011, I believe it was. I had been doing a lot of marathon running and things like that for a long time. I had recently moved back into the area in fall 2010. So I was on, I think I was on Facebook, and Shannon Kennedy was posting all these things about CrossFit, and I messaged her and I was like, "What is this place?" And she's telling me all about it. And she goes, you'd love it. You got to try it out. So I just needed something different in my life.
I remember so, Shannon. Do you still talk to her?
Not really.
Okay.
But she is my attributing factor to why I joined ACF, but her and I knew each other from playing like slow pitch softball together. But so I remember, it's so funny. So I pulled up to the ACF parking lot and Caleb and Kevin were outside raking leaves with their shirts off. And I was like, sign me up. Okay. What is this place? So they both like shake my hand. Caleb's like, come on inside. You know, Caleb.
Did he say it just like that?
Yeah, probably. So I went in and I think there's a class going on or there might have not been a class going on because they were outside raking leaves. But it was when there was no double wide. There was no triple wide. It was like still segmented into the little racquetball courts. So he gave me, the ins and outs of what CrossFit was and all that stuff. And then I think I came back and did a one-on-one with Murph. And I want to say it was like burpees and kettlebell swings. And I was dying and it was not even a lot of rounds. And I was like, all right, I'm in, let's do this. And so I started my on-ramp and then became a member. Then you and I did the good old coaches competition.
Albany's next top coach.
to get our level ones paid for because I was too poor to, barely even afford CrossFit. And then became a coach. And the rest is crazy history. And then
kind of takes us to where we met.
Great story. So when Alex was first a member, I don't know if you ever remember this, but if you ask Kim Hans, she'll distinctly remember this. But we used to always talk about who is this Alex guy that just lifts in the corner by himself, like this, he's really strong, but he doesn't talk a lot. And he's really pale and he's got this strong jaw. Do you think he's like Russian or something? So we just had built this thing up in our heads that Alex was a Russian international person that had moved to the area, international student or something that had moved to the area that didn't really know English that much and we just built this story up on our heads. And then I ID'd him. I was the ID person at our CrossFit for Hope fundraiser, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I ID'd him at the door and I saw that he was from like Hopewell Junction, New York. And I immediately went up to Kimon's and I'm like, Alex is American. He's from Poughkeepsie. Abort.
You disappointed?
No. So then, you know, him and I talked like a lot that night and stuff. And so from, and then the rest is history. Yeah, so
pretty much.
Then we started dating, moved to South Carolina, got married, had a baby, and here we are. It's our 5-year anniversary this year.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Yeah. 5-year anniversary year. And the little guy is asleep right now. We're doing this during nap time, you said, right?
Yep. Yes. Gotta take advantage.
Yes. Otherwise he would be like,
Isn't it? Is it crazy to look back on it that, you know, your decision to join a gym, you know, Alex, whether it be just, you just need a place to do the open, or Allie, you just happened to stop by and you saw these two naked guys in the parking lot raking leaves. And now here you are 5 years later on a big anniversary year and there's a baby in another room.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is crazy. Like you always hear, you move to a new place, people say you got to go find people, make friends doing stuff you like doing, join a group, whatever it is that you're interested in. And that's how you make friends. And, you know, I'd been in the gym kind of my whole life anyway. So it kind of, it wasn't any special effort put in to like make friends or meet someone, but it really is true. Just like,
yeah,
you do that thing you like to do and you'll meet people that are interested in the same stuff. And then you never know.
Yeah. Besides, you know, meeting each other and getting married, some of the greatest people we've ever met are from CrossFit. And it's been just like a true blessing, you know, that we have that this outlet and we were able to, you know, move to a totally different state. And then within a couple months have, you know, some really great friendships and relationships.
Yeah, still true.
So it's been awesome.
It's a beautiful thing, the community that we're all part of. What are some memorable moments or some of your favorite moments from Albany CrossFit time? You know, it was pretty wild and crazy back in those days. Anything could happen on any given day. Do you guys have any memorable moments? It might be with each other or just might be, you know, a workout you did or with other people.
I loved every competition. I loved them so much. And I loved how true to like how it was like true CrossFit most of the time for them, where like we would show up and we would have no idea what the workouts were for the competitions. I remember just like trying to guess just by how the layout was. It was like, oh, what is it going to be? So I really just loved all the competitions we ever did there. I love being, and I love the team ones because it was like Janie and Tom Burkhart. We did one with Brett Andrus. Oh yeah. My God. I just had the competitions and the team stuff was my favorite.
There were two things that kind of jump out. Well, one, she mentioned competition. We actually, if you remember, at one point brought back the hopper and we did like hopper days or whatever it was. And we would literally, before, I don't know if it was before every class or if it was like you did it once in the morning and that was the day's workout, but you didn't post it anywhere. And you actually spun a hopper and pulled ping pong balls out and that was your workout. And it was the coach's job that drew it to kind of tweak it and, you know, finesse it to where it's, you know, an actual workout that won't like hurt anybody. But I remember that because if you look back at my very first Instagram picture was the box of ping pong balls that we spent like a week writing every movement on. And we did that and we found some little bingo hopper on Amazon. And we actually did that for maybe a month or so that lasted. And we had we wrote down the workout on the board so people could see what it was. It wasn't posted anywhere and you'd see everyone's times, real old school whiteboard. That was really cool. I think that was pretty unique.
We still have it. We still have it. I recently sorted out all the ping pong balls just to kind of like, that way we could do like, you know, build your own, or like we could have ones where it was just named workout hopper.
Yeah.
It took forever. There's a million ping pong balls in that.
I know. We hand wrote every single one of those.
Oh, I can't imagine. I remember on those days too, people would do multiple classes in a row because the workout was going to be different and people were addicted to the hopper.
Yeah. It was fantastic. But we could only do like once a week though, because then you just, you know, destroy people. And it was really tough on the coach too, because you couldn't go in with a game plan on like how to set up equipment or anything. So it's kind of taxing on the coach too. So it was really limited, like maybe once a week on a lighter day, you could really do it. But the other part was for me, coaching the boot camps. That was one of my first, you know, big tasks once I was on board as a coach and got my level one was, it was a different head coach a lot of the times, and I was assisting. And then towards the end, it was kind of my class to lead with some assistant coaches. But I really took a lot away from that. And I loved the setup of it. You know, I've tried to explain how that worked and get other gyms to adopt that kind of idea for an on-ramp, you know, intro kind of course to teach new athletes. But that, I think that made me such a good coach, because it was the basics and every progression over and over again every month to a new group. And it was one-on-ones and group classes and all that, but it was great. And then all the relationships that even came out of that, because we saw the people come in brand new and then, you know, they stayed and you watched them become coaches too. It was kind of cool.
It's almost like both your experiences they're pretty similar in a sense, where you have the hopper and you have to think on your feet and create a workout, you know, out of thin air based off of whatever is pulled out of the hopper. But then also an on-ramp, especially like on day one, you don't know any of these people. And we used to have big on-ramps, like 30 person on-ramps.
Yeah.
And everyone has to have a different scaling and need, and you have to make sure everyone knows everything. So you were really put to the fire, you know, in terms of having to think on your feet and grow quickly.
Yeah. And you're right. You only have an hour with them. And I think day one was squat, push up, sit up. And you're like, you're going to coach that for an hour and that's it. Well, yeah. When it's 30 new people, and people with different backgrounds and different, you know, injury histories and things like that. And, but then they all meet each other and they become friends. And that's how you get people to sign up, because they're like, I'll do it if you do it, you know, at the end of the month. And you kind of grow it from there. And that, I thought it was great. It worked great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we still do it to this day. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe not right now, we're not doing it, but you know, up until recently. Right. Have you guys continued to, you know, progress in CrossFit and coach at gyms or anything like that? Or are you guys just strictly weightlifting right now?
Well, we were coaching at one of our gyms, CrossFit Port Royal Sound, for about 5 years. And then last year, they sold the gym to another gym in the area. And then unfortunately, that owner chose not to keep another gym somewhere else, and he chose not to keep our location open. So that happened around November, December. So we had to find homes for all of our, you know, gym members. And a lot of them transitioned to a local gym, which is actually literally a mile down the road. And I kind of just, I took a break. I just needed a break. I had been working full time in coaching for 8 years. So I was like, I'm just going to take it easy. I did a little bit at the local gym, and then COVID hit close after, and I was just doing weightlifting in the garage still. But since COVID hit, just having some social interaction and things like that, the local gym needed some more coaches, and I had a little bit of time to spare. So I'm just doing, you know, one day a week. I'm actually coaching at 4:30 today, 4:30 and 5:30. So I'm doing, I've been back coaching, I think, for a month,
almost, yeah.
A month now, which is good. Cause I mean, it's like a drug. I like tried to give it up, but I just really
like
to do it. And you know, I'll do a couple classes in there, cause I'm trying to cut a little weight for masters, cause I have to like lose 2 or 3 pounds. That's another COVID problem. But so
do you think you were starting to get like a little burnt out after 8 years and you just needed that time off? Like, you're just like, man, I don't know. Like, I know, you know, sometimes in coaching, and you guys probably felt this too, if you have like an entire membership's worth of concerns and problems coming on to you, it can feel smothering at times. You know, you like,
yes, I have. So I work in a community college admissions department. And so I have a lot of younger employees, and supervising them takes an emotional toll on you sometimes. And so on top of also, I mean, you're dealing with, it's not just with exercise with some people, it is an emotional thing. And so it is taxing on everything you're doing. So I think I was just exhausted with everyone's emotions. And I was just like, I think I just need to focus on mine for a second. I truly needed a CrossFit break in 2017. That's why I decided to do weightlifting. I just wanted to do something different, just get out of the monotony. And through that, I think I missed it a little bit, but then I also developed this new love for weightlifting, because I'm not good at pull-ups, but I'm fairly decent at clean and jerk and snatch. So I was like, oh, that's better. And
where are you hoping to take it?
Yeah. When you're an athlete at heart, it's like, there's just this little piece of you that just wants to keep doing something. So. Mm-hmm.
And being competitive.
Yeah.
Where are you hoping to take weightlifting? Like, are you, next year there's the Masters World Games in Japan. There's World Championships. There's Nationals. There's the Howard Cohen. You know, what are you trying to do, Allie, in the sport?
Well, I am very excited with Masters because I don't have to lift as much to qualify for things. So that's nice. But, this one, I'm just trying to get through Masters Nationals, and then it's just like one day at a time. So it's, what am I going to, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I was excited for this year because, you know, if you qualified, you could qualify for the American Open as a master this year. And now who knows if that's even going to go off in Atlanta. So in December. So everything's so unknown right now. I feel like I had more of a clear goal in mind. I was shooting to be top three in my age group and weight class for this year. And I did want to clean and jerk 100 kilos and snatch 80 kilos, but I don't know if I'll get there by December.
where are you at now?
I think I snatched 72 the other day in training. I think I've clean and jerked like 92 maybe.
Yeah,
recently.
So you're not too far off. I have faith in you. I think you can do that by December.
At my best, before I had a baby, I did 78, 98. And I was like, man, I was only 2 kilos off. I should have just threw 80 on the bar and 100 on the bar and just tried it. But Tom would have probably shot me. But so I was so close like a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, maybe I can get back there. But having a baby is and then getting older, your body doesn't recover as nicely. You know, yeah. I can only train 3 or 4 days a week or else I'm crushed.
Yeah, you just have to be smart with it. I think it's awesome that you're very competitive though in your weight class, and that's the cool thing about Masters. It's such a smaller group, so you literally will know the names of the ladies that are gonna more than likely be coming that you're gonna have to be throwing down with. Do you write down their names like on a mirror or in the gym or anything like that? You know, Kim does that. Our friend on the podcast, Kim Sievers, and you guys are good friends with Kim. She loves to do that. She'll write their names in chalk on the floor while she's lifting.
That's great.
That's awesome.
I do not do that. My editor is myself. So Masters is the first time where I've been like, oh, okay, maybe I have a chance to do something. So before that, with weightlifting, I was like, I just want to beat what I did before. So I'm usually just competing with myself. And if it happens to beat another person, you know, that's just an added bonus of motivation for me. So
there's just a mirror next to your platform and you look over.
I just look at myself very vain.
Alex, how about you? Any goals that you're going to start to try to work into, or are you transitioning more to coach? You know, like what's going on here?
Well, I do love coaching, and that's growing more and more, especially after taking my level one. I did that in February. But from the beginning, my goal was to qualify for nationals. You know, I was already, you know, my late 20s when I started, so I didn't have really the any grand illusions of like winning nationals someday, really because of my weight class and my age at the time. You know, those guys are animals. So, you know, I wasn't like saying anything like, oh, I'm going to win nationals and like doing all this. You know, I was a little more realistic, but I was like, you know what? I'd like to go compete at nationals. And so really my first full year of training, I made it to Reno and then for my first AO finals. And then, so I've qualified for that pretty much every year. Through 18, I didn't go in 18 because that was right after Anderson was born. The last meet I did, I qualified me for that, but I obviously didn't go.
And you're a 102?
I'm a 102 now. At the time, yeah, 105.
He used to be a 94, and that was really,
oh man,
that was really tough on everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, you could be a 96 now.
At in our house.
That was rough. Sorry, guys.
He was super skinny and super angry.
Yeah. And it took me like a week to get to 105 when I changed weight class. So that kind of tells you where my body wants to go.
Plus, you can have a little more fun with it. You can bust out some Ben and Jerry's here and there.
Oh, my God. There was, I think the main supplement I added was Waxy Maize, like really cheap, huge, giant bottle of just powdered carbohydrate. And I'd have that during my workouts, and oh my God, I got so much stronger. It wasn't really like controlled.
Is that like you use that in between snatch and clean and jerk, or before, or you just kind of sip throughout the session?
I sipped it throughout. Like I mixed it with some like bunch of water and like maybe some juice or Gatorade to flavor it. Because it really tastes kind of crappy, but you kind of just drink it, sip it throughout, like you have a bottle of water next to you, just for that carbohydrate. So yeah, I got a lot stronger, but I put that weight on pretty quick. So that's kind of still my goal would be nationals, just make it there. And I was very, very close. 2018, my last meet, I did Illinois State meet out in Chicago. That's where I was a couple inches away. I think that video is on Instagram too. I almost had a 180 clean and jerk at that one. And I had it over my head, but it kind of pushed me down and my knee hit the ground, my back knee. So I dumped it. So on my last attempt.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that would have qualified me for nationals. Like I had to make a 5 kilo jump at the end and, just to get my, I think it was 295 I needed total. And, it was 305. So it was a 10 kilo jump to 180. Cause I totaled 295. I needed 305. And, that would have qualified me and so close to that. Right. And then, I hadn't competed since because Anderson was born. So I didn't go to AO. And, then I had knee surgery, in September. So I'm less than a year from knee surgery. So I'm still working my way back from that. So
just working on strength and rehab and getting back to the lifts.
Yeah. It's a good 12 month recovery. So I'm not quite to 12 months yet. So I'm just really starting to squat again regularly. It's pain free. So really happy. It clicks a lot. So I need some background noise while I'm squatting. Otherwise just really distracting.
That's what I sound like walking the stairs. Just bubble wrap.
It's just totally new.
Ignore it.
Yeah, but it's coming back.
You're not a master's, right? Or are you close to being a master? How old are you, Alex?
Starting January, I'm 35 next year.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I'm a cougar.
Scooped him up. Yep. So are you gonna maybe, you know? So you guys will be going on the master scene together. That's exciting.
Yeah, I could. Obviously, yeah, as long as I compete in some way and put a total up, I'd be able to.
It's nice because the Masters meets, like the Cohens hold a ton down in Savannah.
Yeah,
so
20 minutes away.
We're so close. It's like, all right, sweet. I think they're doing another, they're doing the American
American Nationals or American Masters Nationals, something in November.
Oh, the Howard Cohen, yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be like the American Masters Championships or something like that, or the Masters American Open. I forget which one. But there was a lot of confusion having like five different American Opens, so they changed it to Howard Cohen.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe I'll just do that one for fun right after, if it's in person.
Yeah.
I miss like the, I'm like, I'm so bummed about Orlando. I just like the meet. I like a meet. It's so awesome.
Well, you guys will have to do like a little mock meet at, you know, at the new barbell club. So tell me, how is this barbell club going to work? I was reading the website, you know, tell me about where this happened, because I mean, you guys are starting a club in the middle of a pandemic. You know, like, so it's like, you wouldn't imagine too many people are opening gyms when gyms are kind of tough. So what are you guys doing? How'd you get to this decision? Tell me all about it.
So, Ali kind of mentioned it before, our gym we were at closed. And while we were there, I was kind of like the main head weightlifting coach of sorts, not officially, but you know, that's where people went to. So, at one point, we actually had a barbell club within that CrossFit gym for about a year, and we did one meet, maybe two, and it was good. A lot of interest. People wanted to just get better at technique, so they always came to us, and because we were always over there lifting anyway and watching what we were doing. So it was always interest, and people trust our knowledge and all of that. And so when that closed, we went to the new owners at the time, right as they were closing, and said, how much do you want for all of this weightlifting equipment? And they gave us a number, and we said, okay. So we got every single competition kilo plate, two horizontal racks, two full platforms worth of material. We had barbells, so we didn't get any barbells, but we bought all that from them.
That's amazing.
We threw it in our garage, slowly got things set up, and you know, we were like looking around and saying, even before the pandemic, we were like, well, we had a small little barbell club, but that's gone. And the owner and the gym that stayed open down the road, and the gyms around weren't really offering any weightlifting coaching or barbell club or anything like that. It was just CrossFit, which is fine. That's their choice. But we looked around and said, there's nothing being offered in our town. You'd have to drive 45 minutes north to Beaufort.
Or 30 minutes to the island.
30 minutes to Hilton Head Island, or 30 minutes south to Savannah. There's Cohen's in Savannah. You got Coach Ray and CJ in Beaufort. Great resource, but the regular Joe or the mom or whoever wants to just get better technique may not feel, you know, maybe as comfortable in that atmosphere or intimidated in a way, or just not want to drive that far. So we looked around, nothing was around, and we had all this equipment. So we said, well, a lot of weightlifting coaching now is remote. Right, we're remote athletes, even to our own coach, and it can be done, and it can be done effectively. And so we said, well, if we do like a remote barbell club, we can offer programming, we can do video reviews, still communicate with our athletes with the Facebook group and all this to be interactive and give the same cues we would as if we were in person, and can make it work that way. Plus, looking at it, it's really minimal cost, right?
You know, yeah, it's in your garage, which is
opening your gym. Awesome. You know, we already paid for the equipment. All we had to do was get a level one and register a barbell club and some other business things kind of separate, but really there's no cost to it. So low risk. If nobody signed up, hey, I don't lose any money. I still have all the weights I can use for myself. So we said, let's do that. But the way we set it up, and it's probably confusing, so we're trying to put together like a little FAQ page and add that to the website to try to clear it up or whatever if people are confused. Yeah, primarily it'd be it's a remote barbell club. So most athletes would be training either where they normally lift or gym that they go to, or if they work out in their garage, right? So we just give them the coaching and programming to go do. So you can really be anywhere. You don't have to be local to do that. If you find us and are interested, you can do that. But the other benefit is we have two platforms, full platforms, three sets of kilo plates in a garage. We're offering, if you have time and want to, you can come lift with us in person and get that real time in person coaching and feedback.
I saw something on the website. So that's free for people who are doing the remote stuff, right?
Yeah.
If
you're a member and you're doing remote and you're like, you know what, once a week, or I'm having trouble with this, I want to go lift in person. Let me look in the calendar and try to reserve a spot so I can go do my Wednesday snatch session, whatever it is, in person. So we can take a look and do that. Coming in person, totally free, whether you're a member or if you're traveling and if you're in town and you need somewhere to lift and you're a weightlifter, we'll take drop-ins. Again, it's kind of limited in space, but if you look in their space and you sign up as a drop-in, it's totally free.
That's phenomenal. I mean, it's hard for weightlifters to find a place to lift sometimes. You know, a lot of CrossFit gyms don't have space. And if it's a busy time of day, you may not be able to lift in the corner. And you guys have like a full set of competition plates, probably some nice bars. So it's not like you're going to lift on like, you know, the black rubber rogue bumper plates or anything like that. And you're getting to lift on a legitimate platform too, a nice wooden platform.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's actually worth traveling like 20 minutes, 30 minutes or more just to go do, you know, I mean, if you think about it, if you're a lifter in that area or on the outskirts a little bit, what you're spending in gas, you're not even getting close to going in the red because you don't have a membership.
Right.
You know, or you don't have to pay a membership.
Yeah. And in that sense, we weren't looking for how to make the most money possible. We both have full-time jobs. We'd be fine either way. We just looked and said, there's nobody around the area, you know, within a half hour drive that is even offering that kind of coaching, not even to mention the equipment. But so that wasn't our focus. And it was, you know, really out of necessity.
And you're helping to grow the sport too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we down the road would like to be able to offer, you know, clinics to the local gyms and see what it's like for strength and conditioning for younger student athletes. It would be awesome to get some youth lifters to work with us, because I think that would be a lot of fun. And it's just, building a whole new community and just building a sport that not a lot of people know about, or they think they know about.
And I mean, you know, from a logistics standpoint, you know, instead of just being housed in one of the local CrossFit gyms, now it's like you can be friends with all of them, you know, and you guys are the weightlifting crew. You help everybody. You can do probably some clinics for coaches, you know, and things like that. So I think it sounds awesome, and it's a great idea that I haven't really heard of anyone else really doing. I mean, you know what it does sound like? It sounds more retro style, you know, because back in the day, there's all those old barbell clubs, like so many of those coaches, they didn't really charge anyone. It was just kind of like the coach had a full 9-to-5 job, and then he showed up at the garage, you know, and everyone just kind of showed up and lifted, and he'd follow you to the meets and coach you there. You know, weightlifting used to be very different like 30 years ago. Everyone's got big memberships and stuff.
Mark Bell did it. Mark Bell's whole platform was he didn't charge a dime to anybody to come to his gym. Now he's like, you know, one of the biggest people in strength, you know. So
his whole thing's sharing the knowledge of whatever he can, and a lot of coaches you talk to are kind of that way, because people were generous with their knowledge to them, so they're passing it along. And you know, if we can in some way, then that's great. Like I don't see the reason, you know, we're already paying for the space, whether you come lift or not, because it's our home. So yeah, it's not, we need to make rent on it, yeah, whether you come or not. It's kind of irrelevant. So it's more about, you know, giving people the opportunity for in-person coaching, because we know the value of that, you know, compared to remote. Remote coaching is great and it's opened up, you know, the world to weightlifting. But if you can be with your coach in person, I mean, it's infinitely better. So if they're able to and you can come in or whatever, then, you know, they'll realize, you'll realize pretty quickly as an athlete how much better it is. So hope trying, yeah, to encourage.
And it's minimal, very COVID friendly.
Yeah, there you go. Very COVID friendly, very, very clean, you know, and I'm sure in time when the world opens up, you know, and you guys grow your team, you know, people all over the country and the world are signed up and whatnot, you know, you could fly them in for little camps and you got the house, people can tent out on your lawn, you know, yeah, just have a little weightlifters weekend.
Our neighbors would love that.
Yeah.
Now, what can people expect in terms of like, what's your programming style? Are you guys doing more of like, maybe like a, just a straight weightlifting program where it's like, okay, you're just doing snatch and clean jerks, you know, singles, doubles, triples, things like that? Is it percentage based? Is there a lot of strength movements? What's 3 days a week, 5 days a week? What's the programming style here?
So it'll be very linear progression for sure. I've learned a lot from Tom. So it's going to be very, for the most part, percentage based, incremental increases, a lot of good hypertrophy, accessory work,
get the pump.
Yeah, man. You know, really like that. Like I learned a lot from him and I read a lot of Catalyst Athletics, Greg Everett, articles, and I learned a lot from them. So yeah, it wouldn't be too crazy. And if you're trying to program for, you know, a lot of different types of people, I think it's easier to go percentage based, because they're doing it off of their ability.
Are these individual programs or is it like a group program?
No, it'll be a group. So what's available right now is our intro program. So kind of like a beginner's program to weightlifting. So if you're new or you have minimal experience, you just want to learn technique, that's what's available right now. And we're actually trying to run it,
starting in August.
But we're going to kind of run it like we did the boot camps at ACF. You get a group to sign up and they'll start on a given date and it'll run for 6 weeks. And, the next group, if they want to sign up, we'll wait till the next round when it starts and it'll all start at the same time. So they kind of experience it together as a group, even if they're doing it remotely. But it gives you
a little more
sense of community that way. And you can kind of control as a coach with remote athletes, you know, who's doing what on what day, and you're not all over the place. And yeah, it gives you kind of suffer together with someone else. That helps a lot. So we're going to run it that
way. It would make it easy for you guys too. You know, if you're only taking X amount of people for that 6 weeks, I mean, like you guys said, you know, you're doing this for fun and love of the sport and you have these jobs and a baby to take care of. So if you all of a sudden blow up to like a 200-person team, that's like, that turns into a full-time job. Like now you got to be on the computer all the time watching all these lifts. So you get X amount of people set for 6 weeks. And then when they have a baseline, they can be a little more independent versus you get the next group in who's going to need a little more hand-holding, especially if they're just raw beginners.
Right, right. And like I said, that's what that's for, is for those beginners. And they'll be doing the same thing at generally the same time. So when we get videos of lifts, we'll be like, wait, what were they doing today? Oh, it was hang snatch. Okay, so I know what I'm looking at again. I've had lifters send stuff just randomly, and I'm always like, what day of the program was this? What were you on? What were you doing? You know, what am I looking at?
Especially during COVID. I'll get videos from week one, and we're on week four. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're just starting the program? Right. That's not what you told me, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but, then eventually, It's on there, but the link's not active yet. There'll be programming for members of the team, or it'd be a monthly membership to the team aspect of it. And the programming would be kind of continuous throughout the year, going in cycles around one or two meets that we'll pick out based on who our lifters are. Really kind of like what we're doing with Tom, in the sense of, you know, if you're on the team, you're doing this program, and it follows its cycles and waves throughout the year. And that'll continuously change, but that's something I got to learn a lot more about. And when we get more interest and we're ready for it, we'll open that one up too.
You know, what I think is pretty cool about it too, is that you guys are still on Tom's team and he's still your coach. And then now you guys have your team, and it's like a trickle down. Like, you're still learning, you're still getting coaching, because coaches need coaches. Absolutely. And then you have your athletes, and I'm sure if like a problem arises, you know, who better to turn to than your mentor? You know, right. Like, hey, I got this athlete on the team. Nothing I say will work. What do you think about this? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like a cool relationship. How does this work? Like, do you guys sit down like on a Sunday night together at that table right there? You got all the spreadsheets open, chalkboards, everything to figure out the programming, or like, who's the mastermind behind all this?
No, that doesn't happen. I used to have a massive, massive whiteboard, and in our old house, it took up our entire loft area. And I actually wrote out like a 12-week program that was going to lead one of my athletes into an AO series event. And I had it all written out on this huge whiteboard, like, what's his name? Like that Russell Crowe movie.
Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. Yeah. Like, just like, all over the place. And oh my God, that was a mess.
We've since gotten rid of that.
Yeah, we've gotten rid of that. So.
did it not work out just because it was too much on the board and everything just kind of shuffled around? Or did it not work out because you'll write a program and then it immediately needs to be adjusted? Like the
next That was it. There was just so many changes. I've heard you talk, and I did some research. I listened to a few shows beforehand. It was about, you know, waiting till something's perfect. It'll never be done. I think it was talking about the book. One of you guys did. And you just got to say, you know what? It's fine the way it is. I know it could be better, but if I keep trying to fix it, it'll never be done, or never, you know, get sent out or anything like that. So.
Pencils down. You have to put the pencils down.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys remember Doug Nadeau from ACF?
Who?
Doug Nadeau. He used to come to the 8:30 class. He won the 90-day. Oh no, he was runner-up to the 90-day challenge one year. His friend Joe Sinisgali won it, but it was Doug and Joe. They used to come to the 8:30 class, and he's an accountant, and I was telling him about the book at that point and other things. And he's like, you have to stop. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, every now and then someone has to tell you, put your pencils down. You're done. It's time's up. That's where I got that from.
Yeah. No, but Alex has been the mastermind pretty much behind all of this. This has been a real passion project for him. And I am just his support cheerleader in the background. So, I mean, I still need to get my weightlifting level one. I was really pumped when they were doing the online ones because I figured I would do it, but now I'm not sure they're doing the online ones anymore since people are allowed to do things in person. So I'm hoping we'll come back out with that again because it's more cost effective if we don't have to pay for a hotel room or travel somewhere to do it. So I still have more learning to do on my end, but I think I can be, you know, extremely helpful in the garage with, you know, watching and also watching videos. And, you know, we know the couple of people that I think they're going to start with us initially, and I've coached them across it for a long time. So, so it'll be a good team effort of, you know, understanding our athletes and running things.
I think it's a perfect team and a perfect scenario. I mean, like, what more could you ask for? It's a gym in the garage. It's free membership if you want to come and lift, and you have two experts living in the house, living in the gym, essentially. You guys have been coaching for years. Alex, you worked for GE. You're an engineer. you had, you know, a whiteboard, beautiful mind style, you know, that's probably how I imagine how that's how the inside of your brain is, just like numbers everywhere, you know, very smart guy. Allie, you've been coaching for even longer than the CrossFit stuff, because you were coaching in, you know, softball and other sports, you know, St. Rose, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you guys have been doing this for a long time. You get your eyes are accumulated, you know, acclimated to, you know, movement, and you guys are super passionate about it. And I think the best part about it is you're coming from a place of wanting to grow the sport and wanting to grow it in your area and just be of service to everybody. So I think it's a no-brainer if anyone in the South Carolina Bluffton area happens to be listening to the podcast. It's like, what are you doing? At least drive over there one day. I mean, not unannounced, like make an appointment.
You got to reserve a spot.
We do have a dog.
There is a dog.
She
you
got
to have, pretty much these days, you have to have a gym dog. And a lot of times now you have to have a gym baby too. You know, like so many gyms have babies and kids and dogs running around all over the place. Uh-oh, I can hear you.
Ah.
There you are. What's your dog's name?
Okay. Yeah. Reese. Little Reese. She's 6 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, so in terms of weightlifting, when this starts to get going in August, what's going to kind of be the game plan with competitions? You know, are you going to be pushing people to do competitions? Are you going to be traveling for competitions or do remote coaching at competitions? Any plans with that?
I think it'll depend on what happens with the initial memberships and or like when people are signing on, if they're just signing on to just learn how to move better, or if they're signing on because they really want to, you know, dive into a program. I think it'll be initial conversations we have with them, like what are your goals before they start up, and then we can go from there and look at the calendar and see if there is a competition.
Mm.
At our old gym, we used to, I mean, he would do the same type of programming of like a 6 week 101, and then we would do a little mock meet for him. So we would probably essentially do something like that too, so they can, you know, see their progress. It's like, all right, we're gonna have this mock max out day, you know.
It's the best way to get people hooked. Take
the
them
thing
to
with women though is that they hate the singlet, so you gotta tell them you don't have to wear a singlet. Mm-hmm. You can wear whatever you want.
It's just to retest. I mean, you test the retest. We always wanted to test it again to more of like a show them, be like, look at the work you put in, you improved, you may not feel like it during it because you're kind of sore and whatnot, but you know, it's like, look, you know, this is what your effort has done. You did great. So,
but you only get three tries.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why, you know, that's the thing about weightlifting. It's like, oh, everyone thinks it's just maxing out, you know, whenever you can. And it's like, you're practicing moving perfectly. So on one day, three times you can move perfectly, you know, for three attempts. It's just,
it's like it's 30 perfect. Seconds in the limelight.
Yeah. It's like monotonous, you know, just brainless stuff that you're doing. And you're like, why am I doing this? And then you get three tries and it's either like the best you've ever felt in the world or the most depressing thing that's ever happened to you if you fail.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know, Allie, you know, I've had so many conversations with people about the singlet and, you know, I always wonder if maybe it doesn't always go over well because it's coming from a man or something like that. Do you find you have more luck convincing people to wear a singlet? Is it a different message coming from a woman? No,
no,
no. I also fail. And I sometimes try and show them, I'm like, it's okay. Like, look, I'm wearing it, you know, it's full coverage. It's just like wearing, I mean, it's more coverage than a bathing suit, and you wear a bathing suit. So, you know.
And that doesn't work.
Yeah. Just be like, it's like you're a swimmer in the swimming pool, but you need this special suit to not have anything in the way when you're lifting the barbell. No, it's still, you know, and it's tough. There's a lot of, I mean, that thing with weightlifting, it's nice. So it's like what people, for women specifically, body image is such a big thing. But in weightlifting, it's like, it doesn't matter. your body doesn't, no one cares what you look like. They just care, you know, how much weight did she just lift? And if you just lifted 400 pounds, you could weigh 400 pounds. No one would care. They'd be like, that chick just lifted 400 pounds. That's
they'd be like, I wish I could lift 400 pounds, you know?
Yeah. So for me, and I mean, I'm a big boned woman, you know, I'm not tiny and slender, and it's weightlifting has always been, even in CrossFit, like a confidence boost, you know, that's, you know, all right. I don't look like the little tiny thing with the six pack abs over there, but I can lift more than she can. And it makes me feel good inside. So for a lot of women, that's something that they need a little bit of confidence boost. So I think that's why a lot of women sometimes will trend towards weightlifting. In our area specifically,
there's and CrossFit,
more females women. Interested in CrossFit and in weightlifting than the males in the area. So
yeah, I've noticed that too. I mean, most of the time our team is the majority of them, people on the team are women, you know, and it seems harder to get guys to do, you know, the weightlifting and barbell club. Like I have a few, you know, male lifters, but mostly the team is ladies. But it's something everyone needs. It's a, you know, using a barbell and lifting weights, it'll make you strong in the gym, but it also make you strong outside the gym, just not just physically, but mentally. You know, when they go to your gym, you know, in your garage, and you're like, hey, let's put a kilo on and go for a PR, and you show them as a coach that they can do that and they are strong, then they're going to leave that day, and whatever they encounter, they're going to be that much stronger for it, you know, and they're going to be able to use that strength.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Do you guys have any examples of that, of where like weightlifting has made you mentally stronger for just regular life?
Yeah. The year I trained for the full, like started training, it was probably like one of the best years I had in my professional career. So, you know, I should have been totally exhausted. I was doing a leadership class within the county. I was, you know, working my full-time job and then taking on weightlifting. And I was also still coaching at the gym. So I was like really spread pretty thin, but the stuff I was learning in my leadership class, and then also the, how strict you had to be with, your time for making sure I got all my lifts in, because I didn't want to cheat myself. I knew I had goals I wanted to reach, and I wanted to achieve them in a certain time period. So it's like, if I had to do my lifts at 8 o'clock at night after I coached, I was doing that and I would get home at 10 o'clock. And I was so scheduled in my mind. And it was just like one of the best years I had. I got a raise that year and became the director of admissions, and just a bunch of really great things happened. It was like this trickle down effect. And I attributed a lot to having started weightlifting. I don't know. It was like, I was motivated in all different aspects of life. So that was something I got out of it for sure.
I can definitely see that. You know, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you're dedicated to so many causes, but that weightlifting, you know, you go in and it sounds like it's the one thing out of your schedule that could also like go wrong, you know, where there's going to be some hardship in it. You know, you have a bad training day, and how you react to that, if you react to that positively, you know, being stuck in traffic before your leadership meeting or something like that, you just react to things differently and you have a whole different attitude and outlook on life.
Yeah. And it's such a good stress relief for the endorphin. Oh my gosh. I had such a stressful work day the other day. And during my lunch break, I just did back squatted in the garage. And like, when I get stressed out, I get in my jaw really bad. I have to wear a mouth guard. So I can just feel it happening. And then after I did that, the rest of the day, I was like more relaxed and able to handle what was being thrown at me. But at the time I was like, I need to shut off for a second. I need to go let some endorphins out and then come back. And it's just, I can tell.
Yeah.
I need to do something. So it definitely helps.
I can relate. I've started using the slam ball that we have a little bit more at the gym. that's a great way to let out some stress. Just try to just pick up and slam this ball on the ground. How about you, Alex?
in terms of how training has, or weightlifting has helped me in some way?
Is that like made you mentally, or we already know that you're physically strong. Like has weightlifting or the lessons that you've learned from the barbell, so to say, you know, helped you excel in life?
Man,
there's
no like tangible thing I could think of. It's more of a lesson, like the lesson of most days suck. Like, to be real honest, and especially the better you get, the slower the improvements are that you see. So the better you get, more and more of the days tend to suck because you're not seeing that improvement, you know, as opposed to when you started and like every day is a PR and you feel great and less miles on your knees and you just like get right back to it. But I think it's more the lesson of, yeah, a lot of days kind of suck, but you know what? It's okay. And if you stick with it, then you'll eventually see a result that you might be looking for. You know, if you set a goal, you'll probably get there if you stick with it, but you know, along the way, most things suck. And with life, that's kind of like, that can happen. You get to a period where it's like, you know, work stressful, or this is stressful, or, you know,
pandemic,
I can't leave the house. What the hell? And it's, you know, but then you realize it's like, there'll be an end to it, whatever it is. And, you know, just like weightlifting, if you stick with it and you trust the process, even though most days suck, if you look at it as individual days, but if you look at your whole training log, your training book, you could actually see the progress. I think that's the biggest thing. So you can apply that to really whatever you want.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people, what you're describing right now, when they get to that point, they might be tempted to quit. Mm-hmm. But you're, you know, weightlifting helps you weather the storm, both inside and outside, out of the gym. How do you adjust your training though when it starts to suck? Like you obviously trust the process and you have a great coach who can guide you through that, you know, but are there things that you do? Like, do you modify the programming? Okay, I'm supposed to go to 90% for singles. I think today's more of like a 70% day, just not feeling, just going to get some lifts in. How do you adjust?
I guess I'd have to, it depend on the scenario. So if it was like, I need a, you know, three singles at 90, and it's just, I'm struggling to even get to 90. I'd get kind of as close as I can and just get those reps in. So maybe I can only get to 80%, but it feels like 90 or 95. I'd continue with that and I'd at least get the reps in. So the volume on my body is the same. One little thing that actually came from a lot of this discussion with Tom, and one thing he told me to do and has told a lot of other people to do, and hopefully people will take this from, if they listen to this, that in your training book every day, you write a big horizontal line, and on one end you have 80%, and on the far other end you have 90%. And if it's a snatch day, you write down what's your 80% on that one end, and you write down what's your 90% weight on the other end. And throughout the workout, you write a little tick mark in between that 80 and 90% for every lift that you made between your 80% and 90%. And if you do that for the entire week, for the snatch and the clean and the jerk, you can look back at the end of the week and see how many times you've made a lift between your 80% and 90%. And you can look back and say, wow, I made 15 snatches this entire week between those two numbers, even though the week felt like real crap and you're just moving slow, everything hurt, and you're like, I made no progress this week. But if you look back and you see that, you can say, you know, I did make progress. I made a whole bunch of volume, I made a whole bunch of lifts in that range. And to me, that if you look at that, then that's a success. That was a good week. but unless you write it down and keep track, you know, you don't, you may not realize it because you're kind of down on yourself, you know, each day being like, oh, that sucked. Oh, I didn't feel good. But it's a good visual to say, you know what, that's where the improvement is. And I made some good quality lifts and a bunch of them this week at those weights. So it was a win.
Yeah. That's a fantastic idea. Put things into perspective, you know, especially so many people like myself, I'm a very visual person, you know, and people might be visual learners, and if they don't get to see that written out and see the numbers, then they may not think, you know, that they're making that progress. And you as a coach, you can show them that. And do you guys ever do anything where, let's say if you did that last week and you do it this week and they're both comparatively, you know, the same feeling, you're feeling like maybe you're just going through a little stretch, you know, it's the end of the training cycle or mid training cycle. But if you get one more lift in that range than the week before, well, not only are you making all that volume, but you've just made one extra lift. So that's even more progress. Yeah. That's how I would look at it. I'd be trying to PR, so to say, the next time I did that and get another lift in that time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If that's within the volume that's programmed, yeah. Like maybe you missed one. So if you had 10 attempts and you missed one, so you had 9 in that range, and then the next week it's the same thing, but you make that one extra one, then yeah, you beat it by one. You improve because you were more consistent for whatever reason.
Beat yourself, right?
Yeah.
Rally, you're competing against yourself. You get that extra lift. I feel like this is a great idea, you guys, to like almost readjust the course of your training to be like, okay, I got 9 last week. Well, now I'm fired up this week to get 10. I want 10. I have something new to shoot for versus like, okay, it's all about the percentage numbers. And you guys know sometimes the numbers game plays with your head and you get too obsessed with the numbers, and then, you know, you start judging yourself by the numbers versus the actual quality work that you're doing. So this is an awesome idea. I love it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It's the quality work, you know.
I found that. So Tom will, you know, does work up to a heavy single a lot. It's usually on like the weekends, but I found that the first week of the cycle, don't try and outdo yourself.
Don't try to PR.
Right. And then, so then the following week when you do it again, it's like, oh, I get it a little bit better. And then the following week after, you should really shoot. All right. This is probably going to be the program for the next 4 weeks. So, or, you know, so 3 weeks from now, I really want to, you know, put all my cards on the table. You know, so you're like a little bit better every single week. And then you're also not totally trashed after the first week.
Yeah. So it's the bigger picture. If you look at day to day as a weightlifting athlete, sometimes it's good because you don't have to think and you just rely on your coach. But yeah, when it's tough, it's like you got to step back a little bit.
You love the deload. You learn to love the deload.
Yeah, it's a hard thing when you first start to appreciate a deload because you just want to go fast all the time.
Yeah.
But then when you become a seasoned lifter, or maybe we'll say a master's lifter, you appreciate things, you know. You're like, hey, I understand that I can't destroy myself every single session and expect results.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me too, a lot of our athletes, and probably you too, come from a CrossFit background, right? So they're the ones where they'll lift and then they'll walk around and pace or whatever for, you know, how 2 minutes before they lift again. And you're trying to get them to just sit down and you're like, and guys,
don't move.
This isn't, you know, for time here. I want you to sit down. And they're like, what? I can't sit down. So some of them you're pulling teeth trying to just get them sit down. But you do get some though where, yeah, they're like, sit. Okay. This is great. I love this weightlifting thing.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. You know, some people, they, you know, like I said, they just want to go fast all the time. And
yeah,
I think both of us are working with a predominantly CrossFit population. And it's like, from a coaching standpoint too, I almost feel like sometimes I'm telling you one thing, and then when you do it, the next time I see you, I'm telling you a different thing. you know, like, cause I have a lot of athletes that do CrossFit and they do barbell club. Mm-hmm. So you'll come to CrossFit class and I'm like, all right, go fast, run faster, do those burpees, do this, do that. And then you come to barbell club and I'm like, no, we need rest. And it's like, well, which one do you want, man? Like, it's a, I want it both ways in two different situations, but they don't always see the separation on
what we're doing. Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, what else, you know, like what parting knowledge would you each like to leave the listeners with, whether it be a lesson that you've learned, a tip that could help them with their lifting, just, or any kind of message in general of unity and peace in the world, anything that comes to your mind. Let's see. Let's start with Allie.
Oh gosh. Don't start with.
Why not? You were both making this face and I'm like, all right, who should I start with? And I'm like, well, Alex was just talking. So I will give Alex a little more time to think. And plus he just shared that knowledge bomb with the.
I know. He just shared a big knowledge bomb. So I don't really have as much to, I don't know if I can back that up.
Well, this doesn't have to be weightlifting related, I guess.
Yeah, I guess like wear a mask, wash your hands, social distance.
Of course. You know, that's actually the first time that's been said on this podcast. So that's a very responsible thing.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, so New York can come back up and we can come visit and not have to stay there for 2 weeks. So before we can or leave, you know, our in-laws' house.
True.
But I mean, I guess I would just tell people that to just give weightlifting a try and that it's something different and it's something, it's a really great sport that not a lot of people are, a lot of people want to do, but they're not, you know, they'll say they want to do it and they don't understand what they're actually wanting, saying they want to do, I guess, if that makes sense, because of that CrossFit mindset. But once someone gives the time and decides to invest their time into it, it's something that they'll develop a love for. And it really can teach people a lot about themselves. It's just having patience, keeping track of time and training and just your life calendar. And it gives you a goal to shoot for all the time. Because CrossFit competitions are so random. You know, with weightlifting, it's like, this is 10 weeks. This is what your training block's going to like to 10 weeks. And so it's not like I'm going to randomly sign up for a weekend weightlifting meet. It's just, you have this goal 10 weeks from now. So my life needs to be like this 10 weeks from now. But it causes you to have this, a schedule of life. So you're on track for something. It's just a really good goal to shoot for. It's not just like, I want to lose 10 pounds. It's
structured. It's on the calendar and it keeps you accountable too. I think weightlifting is maybe a little bit more up on the accountability than CrossFit is, because CrossFit can be so random, you know, not to knock on CrossFit. CrossFit's great. But no, like with weightlifting, the structure just keeps you going. That's great advice, Allie.
Structure. Yeah. But I think people should give it a try and they never know what they'll fall in love with. So
just try. Alex.
Mike.
Oh man.
And Alex, by the way, bonus points for Alex for wearing the amazing shirt. He's wearing a Darth Vader. I find your lack of strength disturbing shirt.
I think it's a Target special.
He has no idea where he got it from too. I was watching the other day. I go, where did you get this?
If that's a shirt from Target, that's a legit shirt from Target. Like normally like the clothes in Target aren't anything I would buy, but I would totally buy that shirt.
Target.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it was a shout out to your podcast though. I love the name. I saw that and I said, this is amazing. Total nerd.
That's right. You had to do it. And unfortunately though, I don't think you're the first person to wear a Star Wars shirt on the show. I'm 100% sure Murph beat you to it.
Oh. So I listened to that one too and it was amazing. And I'm just like, yeah, I totally on the same plane. Like we've seen every Star Wars thing and we can't wait for Mandalorian. And
I had a cat named after an Ewok.
Allie's even more of a nerd almost.
There you go.
She's a fan of the Ewok movies, if people even know that those exist.
They do. There's two.
They are amazing, those Ewoks.
So good. But
those Ewok movies, they are better than the new trilogy. So I'll watch those Ewok movies any day than watching, you know, Return of the Jedi.
Or Endor, I mean, come on.
Or The Last Jedi.
Listen, I bought his brother for Christmas the DVD set of the Ewok movies. I bet you it's still unopened. But I was like, you got to watch these. It's so good.
I think it was the first year that we got presents for everybody when we were dating.
Are those on Disney Plus? We should find out.
They've got to be. If not, they're probably coming. Well, maybe like for the holidays.
You can watch them on YouTube. I've watched them on YouTube before.
Yeah, fully on YouTube.
The Ewok movies, watch them. Blow your mind. Wicket, starring. Well,
it's like when you're a little kid, who doesn't want to have like a walking, talking, somewhat bear as your partner in crime, like the little girl gets in the movie.
Yeah.
So Anderson's first like infant photo shoot. We did. We actually got him. It was around Halloween anyway.
It was a knit Ewok like hat.
But it was a knit Wicket like hood, like the orange hood he wears.
That's awesome.
Just in case anyone was wondering if we liked it or not.
So you guys are deep into the lore.
So parting words, man. I guess in terms of a couple things we talked about, like with the Barbell Club and, you know, any type of thing you create or want to do or start, just go for it. Because it's never going to be the right time it's never going to be perfectly set up. I struggled for a while, like when to do this whole Barbell Club thing, because I wanted all my systems in place. I wanted my programming for a year to be ready to go. And I wanted everything ready and perfect. And the website, and
got a great website, by the way.
And thank you. Yeah. With working 40, 50 hours a week, when Anderson's now fully mobile and the kid's faster than I am, you know, you have his 2-hour naps each day during the weekend, and that's really your only free time to work on anything. So it seemed like it was just never going to happen. And it just got to the point where, you know, the website was kind of ready. I was able to hook up like the bank account and got my Barbell Club finally with USAW, because they took forever for my background check because everything was shut down. And so that's all done. And I'm just like, you know what? It's like, if you build it, they will come. We put it out there and said, hey, our website's live. Go check it out. And we'll just see what happens. I still don't think it was ready. It's obviously not perfect, but it's like, if you want to do something, you just got to do it. It may not be perfect. It's probably not the perfect time, but it might never be.
Yeah. Sign up for that meet. Start weightlifting. Go visit Allie and Alex in South Carolina in Bluffton. Where can we, where can people follow you guys?
You can follow me personally, at Meach15, MEACH15 on Instagram, and Allie Meacham Cadmus on Facebook, and our Instagram handle for the club is at Bluffton Barbell. And then we also have a Facebook page, and then Alex.
That's all. The Facebook's also Bluffton Barbell. The website is blufftonbarbell.com. My Instagram is IamAlex28. So it's very declarative. IamAlex28 on Instagram. And yeah, I don't have any of the other stuff, Twitter or nothing like that. So just the Insta.
Yeah, no one needs the other stuff. Too much crazy stuff happens over there. Just stay on Instagram and websites and just talk about weightlifting. It'll be good.
That's right.
I had one of my employees try and explain Snapchat to me one day, and I was like, this is why I don't have it.
Go away.
There's too much here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's too much. It's too many apps on the phone. I just need one. Pictures and videos.
Yep.
Well, awesome, guys. If you're listening, make sure follow Allie and Alex. Follow the club. If you're passing through town or you're in the area, you know where to go now. You have a home to lift weights. Just again, schedule an appointment. Don't show up unannounced. And make sure you follow the Barbell Strikes Back on Instagram. Follow James A. McDermott on Instagram. If you enjoy the show, head on over to iTunes and Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and a positive review, and we'll see you next time. Allie and Alex, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a lot. This was great. Great to see you.